Well, there's so many problems in our world, so much trouble in our world, so much heartache. How we need the Lord's help. Amen. I mean, contrary to the humanistic philosophy, man cannot solve his problems on his own. Individually or as a whole, we fail. That's why we so desperately need the Lord's help. He's the only real answer for the problems in our world and in our lives. So how do we get his help? We ask. Amen. We talked about this one last week. We ask. And well, we call that prayer, by the way. But we ask. Sometimes people don't pray because they don't really believe that their prayers are going to make a difference. And so that's why it's important to know how to pray effectively. You know, I hear a lot of stupid things in our world. Anybody else? I mean, just stupid things. And now some of you, I'm going to throw you off here because I know how easy it is sometimes for us to buy into some of this stupid, but people say stuff like, oh, it doesn't matter how you pray. There's no wrong way to pray. Baloney. That's why your prayers aren't working. And we need to learn how to pray. And the disciples had this desire. They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And we need to have an attitude and a heart that we want to learn to pray effectively. But we can learn to pray effectively and see more and more of our prayers being answered. No, see, when we really know my prayers are going to make a difference, I'll tell you, we will always have time for prayer. So, ask. Last week's message, ask. You got to ask. I don't really consider myself to be an authority on the subject of prayer. I think there are a lot of people that know more about it than me and do a better job of it when I'm sitting here on the front row. But, you know, I don't know why God sticks me up here. I'm as puzzled as you. But here's the thing. Maybe this is why. I am learning and growing, and I'm one of you, you know. And so we just learn and grow together. And that my desire in this series is that we just learn simple principles from Scripture that lead us to an effective prayer life. You know, prayer is not really a complicated thing. A little child can do it and do it well. But here's the problem is that sometimes we forget the simple little things and it kind of becomes something else. And if we're going to be effective in our prayers, I just want you to get this. This is the message tonight. It's important that we have the right attitude about prayer. More than that, it's so important that we have the right heart. See, it's the attitude of the heart when we come to our Father in prayer. Now, how many of you moms and dads think that attitude is important? Yeah, we do. You know, mine are grown now, but I remember. You know, sometimes attitude is, in a way, it's more important than obedience. Because, I mean, you can tell them, you know, you say thank you. You just assumed they didn't even bother, right? I mean, that kind of attitude is worse than not saying thank you. And I just want you to understand that, you know, we need to know this. The attitude matters. The attitude of your heart that you go to God and you talk to Him, it matters. I mean, what if your kid comes to you complaining, you know, and they say, instead of coming to you and asking nicely, they come to you complaining and just, you know, you never let me do what I want. You never give me what I want. I want to tell you that never worked with me. How about this one? They come to you with this attitude like they're demanding to have their way. Now, I know some of you that works because I've seen it in the grocery store. No, the truth is no parent wants to respond in a positive way to some kid, even when it's your kid, demanding to have something or have their way. And I just want you to understand, you see, there's a right way to talk to our Father and a wrong way. Attitude is so important. And it is a heart issue because you see, your attitude, it's a reflection of your heart. See, those attitudes, it's just showing, you know, whether it's in the tone of voice or facial expression or, you know, just the way that you are about something. Guess where that's coming from? It's coming from your heart. You got to get your heart right so you can get your attitude right. But to pray effectively, the attitude of the heart needs to be right. There is no room for pride ever in prayer. When we bring our request to God, we're asking for His help. I mean, the one who has all power, He has all wisdom, He can do absolutely anything. You see, we come to Him with a humble heart. This has to be one of our attitudes. You see, this is our attitude about prayer, is that we come in humility to our Father. There's just no room at all for pride in prayer. We bring to our request to God, we're asking for help, right? I mean, and here's what the Bible says, James 4:6, God resists the proud, He gives grace to the humble. Apply this truth in your prayer life. You see, if you go to God with any pride whatsoever, you're talking to the hand. You are getting resisted. He resists the proud. I don't know if y'all figured this out yet, but I really believe the truth of Scripture. And I think it's foolish and silly the way a lot of people treat the Scripture like, well, it's not really true. God resists the proud. It's a spiritual truth. He resists us when we're proud. And when we are humble, He gives us grace. Grace is unearned, undeserved favor and blessing. How do you get that? Humble before God. You see, it's a really big deal to God. Satan's original sin, Lucifer's sin, it was pride. He said, I will exalt myself and be like the Most High. Adam and Eve, in a sense, when they sinned and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it was a sin of pride because Satan had told them, you'll be like God. And I'll tell you, the Lord hates that pride, and He will resist you if you bring any pride whatsoever into your prayer as you're talking to the Lord. And here's the thing, all of us need to hear this tonight because it is so sneaky. I mean, it'll just kind of sneak in. And even if you've known the Lord a long time, even if you are maybe a very spiritual person in a lot of ways, pride can start to sneak in. And if we're going to pray effectively, we got to get the pride out. We got to be humble before Him. You see, if we are humble, you see, we seek the Lord. And I'll tell you, He will reward us openly. That's effective praying. You know, Jesus was never about religious rituals or just going through the motions. So much of His teachings moved things from just being about don't do this and do this to being about what's in your heart. The attitude of the heart. See, Jesus says, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. But I say to you, don't look at a woman with lust in your heart. Whoever looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery with her in his heart. See, Jesus made it about the heart. And so when we're talking about prayer, I just want you to understand that Jesus is not about religious ritual and going through the motions. It's not something, well, we got to do our prayer thing. We got to get rid of that attitude. You see, it tends toward pride. Here's how that works. Well, I prayed, I did it, you know. I don't know why there's some part of me wanting to say whoop-de-doo. But anyway, But Jesus knows more about effective prayer than anybody, right? And I'm just going to, we're going to look at five verses tonight. Well, I don't want to deceive you here. We're going to jump around to some other verses too, but we're going to focus on five verses tonight that reveal some powerful truth to us. I mean, and just get this though, Jesus taught on prayer. So I think that's a great place to start if you want to learn to pray effectively, is to look at what the Savior said about it. And we're just going to focus on some of the teachings of Jesus on prayer. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're just going to go ahead and read through 5 through 8, and then we'll talk about it and work our way through it. But he says, this is Jesus. He says, when you pray, here it comes. He's going to teach. He's going to tell us. And remember, what he says is truth. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Don't tell me it doesn't matter how you pray. Jesus says, don't be like those people that pray like that. Your Father knows the things you have need of them of before you ask him. By the way, I just want to start with this, that the very first thing he says here is he says, and when you pray, he didn't say if you pray. He assumes that we're going to pray. And when you pray, but then he tells us that we don't pray to look good in the eyes of others, to look spiritual. That is not why we pray, and we can't ever let that creep into our heart because it is rooted in pride. And we know what happens when we're proud. He's going to resist us. So instead, he says we're to pray in secret. Now, I want everybody to hear me right now. You see, Jesus is talking about an attitude of the heart, that we're not praying to be seen by men, so we pray in secret. But he's not saying that we're never to have a prayer meeting because we might see each other pray. I can show you in the Bible, in the New Testament, they have prayer meetings. Jesus prayed publicly sometimes. One of those is at the tomb of Lazarus. He says, Father, I thank thee that you have already heard me. I'm telling you, Jesus prayed publicly sometimes. The apostles prayed publicly sometimes, but they weren't doing it for show. They weren't doing it to look good in the eyes of other people. And so the principle here is that, again, you see, we do it for the right reason. You know, if somebody finds out that you got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and prayed, you are not going to lose your reward. But if you got to go around and tell, you know, I was up at 4 this morning praying, you already got whatever you were going to get, because that's pride. It's amazing, he says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's effective prayer, by the way. When the Father rewards you openly, that's effective prayer. But we never seek the approval or the praise of men. You know, when we pray, here's a little thing. Don't pray sideways. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, you're going to know after tonight. Praying sideways. That's talking to people instead of God when you're praying. And I'm going to tell you who the worst are about this. Preachers. I hear preachers doing it all the time. And I'm sure I've fallen into that trap at some point. although I can't remember any, praise the Lord. But I'm just telling you, here's what they do. They start off with praying, they're talking to God, and then in a minute or two, they're saying things for the benefit of the people. They're, you know, like, they're preaching a little sermon, teaching a little here. But it's so obvious they're actually talking to the people, not to God. Praying sideways is pride. When you pray, you are humbly talking to God. This other people can listen in if they want to. And I want to tell you, you see, sometimes when we have public prayer, you know, like we do in a service, sometimes maybe as someone is praying, it may bless other people and it may encourage other people the way that they prayed. But the heart has to be right that they're talking to God. And, you know, if it blesses somebody else, that's fine. But the prayer is all, you don't pray to people. So sideways praying is not right. That's just pride. We're always talking to God. It's amazing how we can be tempted to do that when we're praying in front of others. You know, we want people to be impressed with our prayer. What's that? Pride. So talk to God, not people. Jesus also said, don't use vain repetition or think that by your many words you'll be heard. You see, we can fall into this religious mindset where we think that we're going to earn something from God. I mean, if we just say it enough times, prayer is not a work whereby we are trying to get God to do what we want. He says the heathen, by their many words, they think they're going to get heard. They think they're going to get through to God. Like somehow they're just going to wear the Lord down until he finally gives in. You can't twist God's arm and convince him to do what he doesn't want to do. You see, we need to get that kind of stuff out of our attitude. It's really pride. As though we think that somehow that we are going to manipulate God. God answers prayer. God responds to prayer and faith. But we don't manipulate God. It's really funny how some people get this thing, you know, he talks about vain repetition. It's really funny how people get a little phrase or a certain word, and sometimes they'll just say it over and over and over, like if I say it 300 times, then God's going to do it. You're still operating in pride, thinking that you're going to earn something from God, that somehow you're going to get him to do what you want. He's the God of the universe. How arrogant and foolish for us to ever think we're going to get him to do what he doesn't want to do. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. You just ask. See, prayer's not us trying to get him to do what he doesn't want to do. And when we're asking him to do what he wants to do, you don't have to beg him. We just have to ask. You don't have to wear him down. You don't have to convince him. You just got to ask. If we're praying according to the will of God, I'm telling you, if we're praying according to the will of God, all we have to do is ask. And if we're not praying according to the will of God, it doesn't matter how much we ask. He's not going to do anything that's not in his will. Well, and I'm going to give you an example later where he did. And I know of examples in our world right now. But I'm going to tell you that it ain't ever a good thing. And you will always wish that he wouldn't. But it's amazing how people think that they can just wear God down. And I'm telling you, it is all from the pride of man. And Jesus says, our Father will reward us. I want to talk about this for just a minute because it goes to the issue of pride again. And we got to get the pride out of our prayer life completely. He says that if we pray in secret, our Father will reward us openly.
He's going to reward us. Now, some people, they get the mentality, the attitude here, that that means like somehow we earned something. No, you didn't earn anything. It is a reward. And you see, we need to understand that it's not us that God owes us now. You know, I prayed. I put in the time. I don't know why God hadn't done what I told him he needs to do. I earned it, you know. We got that mentality about life. I earned it. I'm just telling you that we need to understand that when the Lord rewards us, it is grace. It is his blessing. It is something that he freely gives to us. But we can't allow pride to get in to our prayer life. Not that we deserve that reward. Jesus makes it real clear, praying to be seen by men, praying, thinking that your repetition and on and on and on is going to get it done, is a good way to have an ineffective prayer life. Prayer, first and foremost, is how we come into a real relationship with God. Without prayer, it's just an empty religion. And so this next part, we're going to go into verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6. And this is from the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going to teach on the Lord's Prayer much in this series, but it's hard not to talk about it a little bit. But this first verse I want to get at because there are several attitudes of prayer that we learn from this one verse. And so Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus shows us the attitude that we should have when he says, our Father. You see, we start with this attitude. Father, I'm talking to my Father. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. Amen. And when you go to God, yeah, you come humbly. Let's don't leave that one out, all right? Because I tell you, all of that teaching he did prior, it was all trying to get that humility, the pride of man out of prayer. But here, he makes it real clear. This is our attitude. I'm talking to my Father. This is how you pray, he says, our Father in heaven. He really is our Father. We don't come to him just as, you know, this mighty God upstairs, you know. We come to him as our Father. You know, this principle is actually something that Jesus modeled all the time. Every time he prayed, did you know he never said, oh Lord God, Yahweh. Listen, he knew all of the different names for God. He knew all of that stuff, but he always prayed this way, Father. And when he was talking to others about the Father, almost always he said, your Father. Your Father. You see, he wants us to think that way. He wants us to have this attitude. We need to realize we really are his sons and daughters. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, I know there are some today that will say, oh, we're all children of God no matter what you believe. Baloney. I mean, you can just say anything. That doesn't make it true. The Bible is still true. And it is those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that have been born again, born of the Spirit, and become the children of God. And here's why this is important. Because they say, everybody, we're all children of God. It devalues this special relationship and how awesome it is to be a child of the Most High and be able to say, Father. When you pray to him and you call him Father, and you realize you're talking to a Father who truly loves you. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. This is an amazing thing that he calls us his children and we get to call him Father. And that's the way we're supposed to pray. He said, pray like this, our Father. You see, we're praying to our Father. It'll revolutionize your prayer life and set you free in so many ways if you just realize that you're talking to a Father who loves you. You know, my kids, when they need something, and especially when they were little, you know, they never came to me and said, hey, Mark. They never said, Mr. Hill. They never even said, Pastor. Although that one, I wouldn't a lot dislike that one so much, maybe, but no. They said, Dad. That's different. And you see, you need to call him Father. You need to realize that's who he is to you. Now I know for some people, maybe, you know, calling him Father, it's a little bit strange to them because maybe they had an earthly father that wasn't a really great example. But our Heavenly Father is perfect in every way. He is faithful and loving and kind, absolutely perfect as a Father. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, you know, that you get this attitude, Father. It's not, oh Lord God of the universe, I come to you tonight. No, it's just Father. And there's so many names and titles that we could use to refer to him or address him. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with those names or those titles, but we just need to know in our hearts that we're talking to our Father. First and foremost, you see, it's about this personal relationship that we have with him. That's how we pray. And we don't come to him like some kind of outcast or, you know, like we're intruders coming into his presence. We're his children that he loves. And so we come to him made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. And, you know, Jesus just seldom ever referred to the Father as God or any other title. He just calls him Father. And he makes it clear that's how we're supposed to pray. Here it is in John 16:23. Jesus says, and in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it. So we ought to always think of him as Father when we're praying. You're his child. And we really need to get this principle, this attitude down inside of us. It'll change the way we approach the Lord in the way that we pray. Matthew 7:7-11, familiar verses. I think we might have read them last week, but anyway, it says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him it knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, he'll give him a serpent. No father would do that. Well, I don't know. There's some crazy fathers in our world now, but no father not possessed by a demon would do that. Give your kid a snake. Good grief. If you then being evil know how to give. Now, when he says you being evil, I know some men, they're thinking, well, I'm not evil. Listen. We all, compared to our Heavenly Father, we all have some evil. But Jesus is saying, he's not just talking about the really bad people. He's saying, if you being evil, even the evil ones, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? See, a lot of people, they think that God can answer prayers. They just don't think he will. And this will help you. When you get to the place where you know that you're talking to your Father and that your Father will give good things to those who ask. Now, any fathers ever said no to your kids? Yeah, because he knows what's good for us. And he's not going to give you something that's going to be bad for you. He won't withhold anything good from us. So what can you believe God for if you realize that you really are a son, a daughter of the Most High, the sovereign God of the universe? What would you fear when you know that your Father is watching over you? What would you consider possible if you knew that the power behind the universe was available when you pray? Father, always there, never leaves us or forsakes us, involved in every area of our life. He wants that close, intimate fellowship with us, always available. He's never too busy. He loves you. So just get alone with the Father. Now, this is something that helped me one day. I'm going to put it like that. And I want you to understand, this is not an attempt at vain repetition. You know, as in some way, I'm going to get God to do something. This is something that helped my attitude one day. And I think it might help some of you. And one day, I was sitting in prayer, and I said, Father, Father, Father. I mean, it's more for my benefit than just realizing, Father, I'm talking to my Father. We need to get this attitude. It was the attitude that Jesus had about prayer. Next, Jesus says, he is in heaven. Does that matter? Everything that Jesus says matters. There's a reason. Everything he says matters. Listen, he is in heaven. He is the all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing God, the reigning king, the sovereign Lord of the universe. He's referencing that when he says he's in heaven. See, he's not our equal. He's not down here. He is an almighty God who sees all, knows all, can do all. That's the one that we're praying to, this God in heaven. And we should have an attitude of awe and faith because the God we pray to is the God of heaven. He has a different perspective. He looks down from heaven and he sees every detail. Jesus says that not a sparrow falls from the sky without the Father knowing it. He sees everything, knows everything, past, present, and future. You see, this is the one that we're praying to. And so this is an attitude that we need to have. We need to be awed by him. This God who not only sees what goes on in our world, but he also sees the spiritual forces at work. He sees the spiritual battles that are taking place. He sees all of it. None of it is beyond his view, this God of heaven. And he sees the hearts of men and women. Amazing. Samuel said it, the Lord sees the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord sees the heart. He sees everything. That's the one that we're praying to. We need to have that awe of him. Awe, and I tell you, it should build our faith when we realize the greatness of our God. Psalm 14:2 says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men. See, you're never out from under the Father's watchful eye. And as we pray, we ought to pray with an awareness that he sees and he knows all. See, that's why he already knows the things we have need of before we ask. But he waits for our invitation. Psalm 103 verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. You see, he really is a sovereign God, great king over all the earth. Psalm 47 and 2, the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Awesome. He's awesome. Nothing he can't do. That's who our Father is. And then Jesus said to pray this way, hallowed be your name. Most believers have a very shallow understanding of what that word means. But if we're going to learn to pray like Jesus did, the way he taught us to pray, if we're going to have the right attitude, we need to have this attitude that his name is to be hallowed. Hallow is comes from a Greek word that is hagios, which is a form of the word holy. And so hallow means to set apart as holy, to consider holy, to treat as holy. See, to hallow something means that we show reverence and the highest regard. You know, tonight we sang that song about bowing down in reverence. And you see, that is the attitude that we come to our Father in prayer. It's an attitude of reverence, the highest regard. It is a holy thing. We approach him with an attitude of reverence and respect always. We acknowledge he's the God of heaven, and we honor, respect, and worship him in our heart, as he is the God whose very name is holy. There's some today that say it's okay to go to God angry and mad and disgruntled and just tell him how you really feel, and I disagree. I know it's real popular in religious culture to say such things. Such things are never, ever taught in the Bible. There are people who did those things, and look at what happened to them. You see, if we have those things in our heart towards God, we need to get our heart right. You get your attitude right before you approach him. You don't approach God with disrespect. You approach him, hallowed be your name. It's reverence and worship. You never see any of those kinds of things in Jesus' life or his teachings. You never see any disrespect or negative attitude towards the Father. Get your attitude right. You know, when the Israelites were in the wilderness and the Lord provided manna for them every day, they got tired of it and they complained and they complained and they complained. And I think on some level, we can all find ourselves there, or at least the temptation to have been there when, you know, things just weren't changing the way that we wanted them to. But the Lord finally gave them what they wanted. And this was that example I was talking about earlier. They just complained and complained and complained. Prayer is not an opportunity to complain. But the Lord hears when we complain. And here's what he said in Numbers 11, 18 through 20. Then you shall say to the people, he told Moses, this is what you're going to say to the people. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow you shall eat meat. For you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils. Do you think the Lord lied? You ever thrown up where it was coming out your nose? He said, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you have despised the Lord. And there's the real issue. You see, when we don't come to God with honor and respect and reverence for Him, we're despising Him. That's the opposite of respect, right? To despise Him. And this is what He said about all their complaining. You have despised the Lord who is among you and have wept before Him saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt? Now, I know that was ugly. This one is a popular attitude, and it needs to be addressed also. And for me, I feel it as even more of a stronghold that needs to be torn down. It's really popular, is that you can talk to God like He's your buddy. They say you talk to God just like you would anybody else. No, you don't. He's not anybody else. He's not your equal. He's the great King over all the earth. You see, I understand it may seem a little complicated, but it's not really. You say, well, you said He's our Father. We just say Father. Yes, that's the wonder of it. How amazing that this great God, we get to call Him Father. But you bring Him down to your level and you want to talk to Him like He's just anybody else. Oh, you've lost the wonder of being able to call Him Father. It doesn't mean anything to you. We got to have this attitude that He's to be hallowed, respected, and reverenced, and worshiped. No one is His equal. No, you can't even compare anyone to Him. Nobody. I want you to understand. You know, when we talk to the Lord, no, we don't talk to God in 16th century English. That's just silly. But we don't talk to Him like He's just our buddy, just some other person. We give Him the respect and the reverence that's due Him. And never forget the majesty, the awesomeness of who our God is and the privilege that we have to call Him Father. This one who dwells in unapproachable light, who no man has seen at any time and lived. That's the God that we pray to and we call Father. And the effectiveness of our prayer life begins with our approaching Him as our Father and yet giving Him the highest regard and respect. Check your attitude and your heart when you pray. Don't just rush into the presence of God and demand something, but you come in recognizing who He is and give Him the respect and the honor that He deserves. So here's our attitude. We come humbly, all pride aside. We come to Him as our Father. We are His dearly loved children, and He wants to give good things to us. And we come to Him with the attitude that He is in heaven, is a great and mighty God who can do anything, absolutely anything. There's not anything He can't do, and there's not anything He doesn't know. And we come to Him with this attitude of reverence, respect, and worship. I'm telling you, we get these attitudes of the heart, and it sets us up for an effective prayer life. And these are all simple things that Jesus taught in five verses. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray.